Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I want to begin today by referring to yesterday's program, where Pharaoh had said at the end of the first reading, Pharaoh then commanded all his subjects, "Throw into the river every boy that is born to the Hebrews, but you may let all the girls live." Can you imagine what that would be like for mothers? Can you imagine that? And so Hebrews become enslaved in Egypt, and a certain man of the house, as I look at today's readings, a certain man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman who conceived and bore a son. Seeing that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. Remember, all of the boys were thrown into the water. When she could hide him no longer, she took a papyrus basket, daubed it with bitumen and pitch, and putting the child in it, placed it among the reeds on the riverbank. His sister stationed herself at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Can you imagine a time like this where your children are being slaughtered? Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river to bathe while her maids walked along the riverbank. Noticing the basket among the reeds, she sent her handmaid to fetch it. On opening it, she looked, and there was a baby boy crying. She was moved with pity for him and said, "It is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call one of the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" "Yes, do so," she answered. So the maiden went and called the child's own mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will repay you." The woman therefore took the child, her own child, took the child and nursed it. And when the child grew, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her son and called him Moses. For she said, "I drew him out of the water." On one occasion, after Moses had grown up, when he visited his kinsmen and witnessed their forced labor, he saw an Egyptian striking a Hebrew, one of his own kinsmen. Looking about and seeing no one, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out again, and now two Hebrews were fighting. So he asked the culprit, "Why are you striking your fellow Hebrew?" But the culprit replied, "Who has appointed you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses became afraid and thought, "The affair must certainly be known." Pharaoh, too, heard of the affair and sought to put him to death. But Moses fled from him and stayed in the land of Midian. Brothers and sisters, do you ever think, just in that reading, look what the people before us endured. Look at how strong their faith was. My goodness, where are we? How strong is our faith? Ask God for greater faith every day. Ask Him. He will bless you. We're so saturated with what the world says that many times as the years go by and the centuries go by, we lose a lot. Do you talk to the Lord every day? Do you bring Him your concerns? Do you bring Him your hopes? Ask Him. It might be a while before He answers, and it might be tomorrow. He knows what is best, but He hears your prayer. Brothers and sisters, we are so blessed in this day and age. And sometimes we just don't take advantage of who He is and what He wants to give us. He is our Father who wants to pour out blessing upon us. And we say we're too busy or it's too hard, or it's too much, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. Let's get our priorities straight here. Put God first, and God will supply time for you to do whatever else you need to do. It might be 15 minutes a day to start out, a half hour, maybe even an hour. Don't start out with an hour, but work your way up, because God wants to draw you closer and closer to himself. Psalm 69 tells us, "Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live." God's word is true. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. I am sunk in the abysmal swamp where there is no foothold. I have reached the watery depths. The flood overwhelms me. But I pray to you, O Lord, for the time of your favor, O God, in your great kindness. Answer me with your constant help. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your saving help, O God, protect me. I will praise the name of God in song, and I will glorify him with thanksgiving. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds he spurns not. He knows exactly what we need. Trust him. Wait upon him. Don't stop praying just every day, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me to be a disciple of yours. I am your son. I am your daughter. Let me be more and more a disciple of you, that the world may know that we have a God who saves, that the day will come when we appear before his judgment seat. And I wonder a lot what that must be like. I can't tell you because I've not experienced it, at least not yet. But think of it. You're going to see God, and he will judge you according to your actions. If your life has been bad, and you repent, and you tell the Lord you're sorry, and you seek to come back to him, he will forgive you. Go to confession if you're Catholic. Get freed of those things that keep you back from following the Lord. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. I know that's hard sometimes, but oh, what a joy it is when you get the weight off your heart. And Jesus evermore can make his home in you. And that's what we want. I want him to live within me. Don't you? Now we take a look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 20 to 24. It's short, but listen carefully. Jesus began to reproach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done. Think of that. God had performed miracles, and they still did not move. Where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the nether world. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." Think about that. Brothers and sisters, let us repent of our sins, that we have God living in our lives. He so loves us. He wants us with him. Go to confession. Tell him how long it's been since the last time you went. Tell him whatever you know you should get rid of, whatever has been sin, and Satan loves that. He works on it and works on it, makes you think you're more terrible than you are. You're not. You're God's son and you're God's daughter. And he wants you back with him, holy, in his heart. Please, brothers and sisters, repent where we need to repent, all of us. That includes me. Repent where we need to repent and trust him. He loves you so very much. And then, brothers and sisters, I want to share with you from the Imitation of Christ. Thomas A. Kempis wrote this, "Lord, how can one attain to such glory? By an ardent love for all heavenly goods. In witness to this, we have the souls of all the saints now rejoicing in the heavenly kingdom, and all the faithful who strive and struggle against temptations to evil. Among creatures, there is nothing so good, delightful, and wonderful that can satisfy the soul of man and render him totally happy, free him of all that is bad, fill him with all that is good, or grant him endless joy. Only God, our only supreme, eternal, and infinite good. He is the creator of all that is visible and invisible, of angels and of men. He is before all, above all, and in all. He is God, blessed forever. Lord, great and marvelous are your works. I confess that I am unworthy to enjoy so many benefits and to have converse with the saints in heaven. Hence, as long as I live, I shall always humble myself before God and men, so that God may have mercy on me, a sinner, now and always, that I may not yield to despondency or despair because of my past evil deeds. I will keep in mind, Lord, all your goodness and mercies shown me during the past years, until I, with the help of your grace, merit to attain to salvation." Brothers and sisters, he loves us, but he gave us a free will. And I can say, oh yes, someday I must think about that. No, today is the day to think about it. Lord, free me from all those evils that suddenly and often rush upon me and often distract my heart from thinking about heavenly realities. Dear God, be ever present to me. Place me next to you, lest I begin to stray and distance myself from you who are my supreme good. You alone, Lord, are all my good. Give yourself to me and satisfy my soul. You alone are my salvation. Amen. It comes from the author of The Imitation of Christ. We all need, those who are even becoming saints, all of us need God's forgiveness. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.